Wendy Stocks was born in the Christchurch suburb of Phillipstown in 1940. She was baptised not long after, on the 16th of March 1940, in the Church of the Good Shepherd, Phillipstown. This was a sacred space of remarkable synchronicity and appropriateness for her later life's course. The Church of the Good Shepherd, Phillipstown, was the first Anglican church in the Diocese of Christchurch where Eucharistic vestments were worn, and the great Anglo-Catholic architect Benjamin Mountford created this church to be his own place of personal worship after he fell out with the parishioners of Holy Trinity Avonside. This church has undergone remarkable transformations in recent times. It became for a while the headquarters of Tikanga Māori in the Diocese of Christchurch. Then it was sold to the Romanian Orthodox Church, and I'm afraid it was destroyed in the earthquakes, and because the Romanians lacked the money to pay their insurance policy, the church will never be rebuilt. Sometime soon afterwards, Wendy's family moved to Nelson and resided there for several years, and then they went to Wellington to live in the suburb of Strathmore, where most of Wendy's growing up years and young adulthood was spent. In papers discovered by David, we know now that she worked for Whitcomb and Toombs for a while and for 20th Century Fox during her Wellington years. In 1972, she moved to Britain, a fateful move, and lived there for the next 32 years. Some of you have said to me, of course, she's English, isn't she? Not at all, as I've just revealed to you, she's as Kiwi as you and me. It's just that in her years in England, she seems to have adopted this estuarine accent, typical of people who live in the Greater London area, and it appears to have remained with her for the rest of her life. She lived for a while in the YWCA and Tottenham Court Road, and then faithfully moved to St Ursula's Hostel, a hostel run by the great Anglo-Catholic parish of St Albans, Holborn, where she would worship for many years. She then lived for a little while in a flat in Islington. But the significance of St Albans, Holborn is not just that it confirmed her in her style of convinced Anglo-Catholic religion, but it is, of course, the place where she and David met. And they married there in 1986, in their early 40s, a marriage which has now lasted for 35 years. As we shall be hearing later on, they shall be as close in death as they were in life. She moved to Slade Green, where David had a flat, and having worked for a while for the Hong Kong government in London, she then had a very happy job in the radiology department of Dartford, Kent, on the outskirts of London. In 2002, David and Wendy moved to Timaru because it was much more possible to buy a house there. Now, thinking about Wendy as a person, in their marriage, she was what I would call the Minister for External Relations. She handled email, cell phones, and also was the person who joined many different craft groups and community groups in Timaru and forged a variety of friendships and contacts throughout the Timaru community. She was skilled with her hands, a skilled embroideress, lace maker, and in this church, alb maker. The vestments or the white garments which some of you wear that look like angels were made by her. So that's going to be a lasting legacy in the life of St. Peter's Caversham. Wendy was what I would call a narrative-driven person. If you asked her a question, instead of getting a concise, summarised answer, she gave you the whole story, told often slowly, relishing the details. One became accustomed to narratives as the answer to questions put to her. She was, of course, a convinced Christian and a conviction Anglo-Catholic. And that's why I chose today's gospel reading about the fact of I am Christ as the living bread which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise them up on the last day. Wendy was someone for whom the Eucharist was at the very centre of her religion, the very heart of what she was as a convinced Anglican Christian. She had also a great devotion to St. Michael, the prince and leader of the archangels and heavenly host. I've already presided at Wendy's funeral service at the Timaru Crematorium. This is step two along the road of her departure journey as we celebrate this Requiem Mass. because Wendy's instructions, quite detailed, I should have talked about their wedding at St Albans Hope, and there are many photographs of it around the house, carefully choreographed and planned a nuptial mass, 2 hours in performance at that shrine. And she has been also similarly careful and well planned about her departure arrangements, because when David departs this earth, he's going to be buried, and her ashes are going to be buried along with him. I thought, therefore, I would finish with a rather unlikely source for me. It's a poem or a song written by the contemporary American songwriter Tracy Chapman, The Promise. You might have heard it. If you wait for me, then I'll come for you. Although I've travelled far, I'll always hold a place for you in my heart. If you think of me, if you miss me once in a while, then I'll return to you. I'll return and fill that space in your heart. If you dream of me as I dream of you, in a place that's dark and warm, in a place where I can feel the beating of your heart, I'll find my way back to you. Please say you'll be waiting. Together again, it would feel so good to be in your arms, where all my journeys end. If you can make a promise, if it's one that you can keep, I vow to come to you. If you wait for me and say you'll hold a place for me in your heart. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.